Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Many other city officials across the country have looked the other way. However, you could be the ones that stand against this evil obscenity. Murray and Peter are abusing the First Amendment. They're mocking the beauty of femininity, they're mocking Christ, and they're attacking the image of God. Yet you have the authority to say, not in our city. You all should take time to actually review Drag Queen Christmas, because aiding and abetting obscenity is a crime that you don't have to be guilty of. So cancel Drag Queen Christmas.
As I've said plenty of times, this show is lawful, upholds the Constitution, safe, and it shows that the city of Pensacola is inclusive to all types of artistic expressions.
Yes, Drag Queen Christmas is still front and center in not the agenda, because there's no action item, no city council member is going to call for an action item, there's not going to be anything done about this, but the, frustrated, upset Christians are showing up, and then the, frustrated, upset advocates are showing up, and we're having a conversation, and that's exactly what the public forum is for at the city council meeting. So we continue to have this discussion. Pastor James Johnson, there was the first voice. Eric Douglas was the second voice. Eric continued.
I would like to talk a bit about selective outrage. One of the arguments that I've heard repeatedly is that this show is not of God, and it goes against religious beliefs. Well, in the Bible, specifically Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31, which states, "Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Or we can go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 12, that states, "Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord." Well, Teresa Caputo, who is known to the nation as a spirit medium, is coming to the Sanger Theater next year on May the 2nd, 2026.
I mean, Eric kind of has a point. So then the reaction, I wonder, is going to be, oh, protest number two, right? You know? Well, it's not during Christmas. Well, the Christmas can't be the center point of this, because if Christmas is the key, Christmas is religious. And if religion is the center point, then now you're engaging in the stifling of religion. You're doing exactly what the First Amendment prohibits. The best argument the antis have is that this is obscenity, which the Sanger has already said. We will stop it if it crosses the line either legally or constitutionally into obscenity, and we will even arrest people if need be. So you can't argue that, well, it's by Christmas and that offends us, because being by Christmas is not legal grounds to violate the contract or constitutional grounds, because, again, the more you lean on it's close to Christmas and it's blasphemy or something akin to that, the more you make it protected, which I, to their credit, the primary organizers of the protests, like James Johnson, I think recognize that and have leaned away from that particular objection. But yeah, kind of an interesting point made by Eric Douglas, right? Like, where's the uproar over the spiritist coming, That's not something the Bible looks particularly favorable on.
The man of faith myself, I personally may not attend these type of events, but I would never offend or tell anyone that has a passion about these type of events not to go. Just because my own personal differences contradicts this show, I would do the logical thing by not going.
Yeah, you know, the real question, of course, is to what degree do we have tolerance for things that we despise? As I have said many times, I am willing to protect, even fight for, the right of people to do things that I can't stand. That's what it means to me to believe in the principle of the First Amendment, to believe in the principle of free expression. There are lines. It's not anything, but, you know, as long as you do not cross into obscenity, and particularly are not doing it in front of children at a private event that you pay for, even though it is at a publicly owned theater, the theater revenue generates for the city doesn't cost the city money. And so I think all of those factors wind up being not a factor at all. Andrew Johnson, who I believe is one of Pastor Johnson's sons, but people speak for themselves. He spoke, and, he took a an interestingly more strident tone toward the city council members themselves.
In this stand against Drag Queen Christmas, many people have asked me, how many of the city council members are Christian? This is a challenging question to answer because some of you claim the name of Christ, but unfortunately you fail to govern like it. The Christians on this city council so far have shown no indication of their Christianity. So I'd like to take a few minutes and remind the three Christians on the city council of their responsibility to act like a Christian.
So in principle, I have no problem with a person of faith challenging political leaders to live up to their self-described religious convictions. In principle, I'm perfectly fine with that. In this particular case, what I disagree with, you know, Andrew v. Andrew here, is it's not proof you're not a Christian that you're unwilling to use the power of the government to stifle the expression of art, religion, or beliefs, or anything that you disagree with. The presumption that all Christians would stifle this show, cancel this show, or else they're not good Christians, I mean, I wouldn't. And I think I'm a Christian, and I take the Bible pretty seriously. So the notion, the allegation that the fact they won't stop the show means they're not good Christians or not Christians at all is well beyond the line, I think, in this case. But we'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still dealing with that accident on 98 eastbound in Navarre, Navarre Parkway and Pritchard Point Drive. Traffic is backed up all the way past the Navarre Beach Bridge. So it's about a 15 to 20 minute delay in that area. It's moving, but it's moving very slowly. Highway 90 southbound trying to get into Pensacola, about a 10 to 12 minute delay. And I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. It's our usual congestion construction delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So back to Andrew Johnson's, I thought, really mistaken, misguided presentation of the city council. Again, I agree in principle that there may be times you can chastise an elected leader for failing to do the Christian thing, especially if they self-describe as. I just don't think this is that case. But I know also that the people on the other side, they're so convinced of the righteousness of their cause, it's hard for some of them to see that. I get that too.
As a Christian, when funds and resources are being misused, you must speak up and not defend it. And further, you shouldn't make private citizens create GoFundMes to come up with your ways, fraud, and abuse. As a Christian, when city facilities are being used to put on an obscene performance, the only proper response is to find any and every legal way to cancel it, not to defend it.
Yeah, we just deeply disagree about the appropriate Christian response to things that you disagree with. And, you know, the idea that, by the way, the GoFundMe was to take away the objection that taxpayer funds is going for this. It wasn't to pay off the performers or anything like that. It was just to defang the objection that public money is going to this. So I'm not sure he understood what the GoFundMe was all about.
As a Christian, when the birth of Christ gets mocked and blasphemed, any response besides righteous indignation is the wrong response. The least that a Christian on this council can do is to publicly denounce Drag Queen Christmas as sin. At least the least they could do is publicly admonish ASM Global and Jeffrey Sharp to cancel the show.
Here I actually kind of agree with him that, you know, it's appropriate to denounce a thing. It's appropriate to say if a thing is blasphemous, it's blasphemous. If a thing is offensive and obnoxious and false and mocking of, you know, yeah, you should denounce that. And so I agree with him that maybe the least that should happen is they can say their opinion about it, their, you know, even religious opinion about it. That, of course, is not the same as using the power of the government to stop the thing. You can completely denounce a thing and turn right around and protect its ability to exist. I think Islam is wrong, but I want to protect mosques and their existence. I think Judaism is wrong, but I want to protect the right of synagogues to exist. And pick your religion across the board. In fact, I think a lot of them are horribly, terribly wrong, but I want to protect because I want them to protect our right to have churches. That's the deal. That's the social contract. That's why we believe in freedom of religion and avoid the establishment of religion. Anyway, last comment from Andrew Johnson and then some more from me.
Let me remind you, Christians, what James chapter 4, verse 17 says. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. As a Christian in a position of to do something, apathy and tolerance in the face of sin is to act contrary to your status as a Christian. And so far, since you've heard about Drag Queen Christmas, there has been not an ounce of evidence that would convict any of you of your Christianity. Please do not bow to the God of tolerance. Don't believe the lie that you must tolerate this show based on some twisted view of the First and 14th Amendment. Our founders would be appalled to see the weaponization of the liberties that they've entrusted us with. Christians, let me remind you that no amount of disapproval from your constituents will ever amount close to the judgment you will face one day from Almighty God. As the prophets did in the Old Testament and as the apostles did in the first century, I'm calling you to repent and at least attempt to cancel the drag show.
Yeah, so pretty strong words. And again, I pretty deeply disagree. And I worry a little bit that what Andrew Johnson is adding to the gospel a little bit here, because he seems to be implying that if you are born again through Jesus Christ, but yet fail to use government to stop a blasphemous production of art, then you're not really going to heaven. It seems like he's kind of implying that. And I know there are passages in the Bible that talk about accountability for your actions and, you know, that to him who knoweth it, you know what is sin and not to do it. And I get that. He's correct about that. It's the question of what is sin, and is it a sin for a government official to allow something that's wrong to happen? And again, we believe in freedom in this country. We believe in the allowance of people to do all kinds of things that we dislike, to be mean to each other, to be rude to each other, to say horrible things. We don't make those things illegal because we want the right to do them right, and that means protecting the right to do them wrong. But I hear a tone here, and I hear it stronger in some of the other speakers, and so I want to give you just a brief sense of what at least one of the other speakers said. Robert Hagerton, or Hagerton, I think is how he says it, is one of the sort of loudest, most Bible-poundiest kind of speakers. And then I'm going to talk about what I'm hearing here and why it troubles me greatly. Okay.
Let me be clear. We Christians are not going to sit down and shut up on this matter. We have full situation awareness. I would also imagine, too, that my fellow Christian brothers and sisters throughout the city would concur with my assessment that this sick and demonic show should not be performed. It should be canceled and boycotted in its totality. I find it repulsive and pathetic that such a show would be exposed to the public just 2 days prior to Christmas.
Again, I mean, what's their safe window? 5 days, 10 days, 20 days? It's not the public. It's the 18 and up paying audience, so this is different. But I'll tell you what it feels like to me. And I will tell you in advance, this is not a perfect analogy, but hear me out for a second. It reminds me of a story in the Bible. And the story in the Bible is about there was a traveling performance of sorts that was going all over the countryside and doing some, you know, really unorthodox things, some things that some people thought were, you know, great and kind of performing like magic tricks and things that seemed impossible. And a lot of the people really loved it, and some of the people really hated it. In fact, some of the people thought that it was a heresy, this touring performance and blaspheming God and making fun of the religious leaders of the day and, you know, in the communities they visited, attacking them sometimes and, you know, refusing to fit in with the cultural norms and the power structures of the day. This performance touring group was constantly hanging out with, like, the worst people, the prostitutes, the tax collectors. None of them had jobs. I mean, they were, you know, the people with the show were more like caravanners with the Grateful Dead or something. I mean, they actually had productive lives, and they left their families to hang around with the, like, freak show that was going around blaspheming all the time. And, you know, the show was unpopular, but, you know, a lot of times they were chased out of town. And then one day, the local religious leaders had seen and heard enough, and they actually closed the show down, and they had the lead actor arrested and thrown in jail. And when the local magistrate investigated, he found that no crime had been committed, but the people demanded they take action. All the religious leaders in this traveling theater act was so dangerous to public decency that it had to be stopped. And the most devout local conservatives in Israel in the time, the religious leaders, they wanted the man punished. So the magistrate, he decided that it wasn't going to be his business anymore. He washed his hands, and he had the blasphemous cult leader executed. That story sound familiar to anybody? I'm not saying that the drag queen Christmas performers are Jesus, and I'm not saying that the people protesting the show are the Pharisees. I'm saying that the role being played by the self-described Christians, and I don't doubt that any of them really are people of faith, feels dangerously familiar to the role that was being played by the Pharisees in the New Testament. And I would just challenge you, if you're in that group, take that concern seriously. It doesn't mean you're wrong. It doesn't mean that I'm right. The people who ignore sin, I might be in that category. I get it. But the mob of angry, self-righteous people enforcing what they thought were the right rules of decency and order and good theology, at the time, were the ones that had Jesus crucified. So you always want to be careful not to be in that group. 725 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. Seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay. Still dealing with the 98 eastbound before you get to Windhaven Beach. Traffic is backed up all the way past the Navarre Beach Bridge. So just be aware of that. And also Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10. Seeing some minor delays in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Often the most unhealthy part of a person is their mind. People fantasize about life with a different spouse, or they entertain negative thoughts that often lead to depression, or some people think of themselves more highly than they ought. After all, no one knows what you're thinking unless you tell them. It's easy to keep secret the bad habits of the mind. Did you know that 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ? Beware of thinking on things that inhibit your spiritual growth or undermine your relationship with others. Instead, capture your thoughts and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You'll be glad you did, and so will the people in your life.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games?
Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app.
Tap that app
to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Do we want to get rocked?
Did anybody have eye-twitching flashbacks to when you were a child playing Simon?
Oh, of course I did, because I was like,
press the button.
The colors.
Press the button. Press the button. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, after tearing across Jamaica, Hurricane Melissa's path brought the storm into Cuba. Overnight, the storm had weakened to a Category 3 before it made landfall. It's currently got winds of around 115 miles per hour. The Federal Reserve is expected to cut interest rates today following a string of poor labor market reports, coupled with news that inflation has slowed. Rate reduction from the central bank could have a trickle-down effect on consumers. And have you heard about the monkeys, Andrew?
I have.
A truck carrying a number of monkeys through Mississippi wrecked yesterday on I-59. These monkeys apparently were used for research at Tulane University and are aggressive towards humans and carrying hepatitis C, herpes, and COVID. Several monkeys were euthanized after the crash, But officials say three of these aggressive and disease-ridden monkeys are on the loose.
Yeah, my latest update is we've got one that's still on the loose. They're big. They're supposedly not infectious. it's the advice your mama always gave you. Don't pet the strange, aggressive, herpes-carrying monkeys.
Mama said that all the time.
If my mom said it once, she said it 1,000 times.
Don't you think they would be mad at humans for giving them all of that?
Well, also for, you know, having to ride in a truck that overturns and then they have to make their escape. Claw their way out of there. The sheriff's office, on their post, somebody had said, this is a joke, right? And they're like, no, unfortunately not.
Oh, man.
So just do what your mom said and don't pet the strange, aggressive, herpes-carrying monkeys. It's good life advice for everybody.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa, the third and final stop in his trip to Asia for President Trump. Fox's Lucas Thompson traveling with the president.
A new trade deal with South Korea. This has been in the works since South Korean President Lee visited the White House over the summer. And President Trump arrived in South Korea with all the pomp the country can muster. Trump was presented a crown, South Korea's highest award, Trump becoming the first American to receive it.
The president meets tomorrow with his Chinese counterpart.
We're meeting right here, and we're all looking forward to that. I think it's going to work out very, very well for everybody.
The leaders will discuss tariffs and trade as well as stopping the flow of fentanyl into the U.S. The worst of Hurricane Melissa is over for Jamaica, but the storm devastated the island. Now it's battering Cuba. A Category 2 hurricane, winds 105 miles per hour, up next to the Bahamas. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, we've got 68 degrees and cloudy skies in Pensacola. The city of Pensacola heading to court to attempt to revive a stalled $16 million stormwater project affecting the area near Joe Patty's Seafood. The lawsuit claims that the business has blocked city workers from accessing an underground easement that they need to get to make storm sewer upgrades.
We're at the point in the project a few years into this conversation where we have to make a decision or we're going to be putting our taxpayers in a pretty difficult spot.
Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves, the city vacated land at Joe Patty's request back in 1975, but kept an easement for storm sewer maintenance. The mayor says that after 3 years of discussions, the city now has to take legal action. The stormwater project aims to address flooding issues in the Main Street Basin, which about 5,000 city residents live in. Baldwin County construction workers filed a class action lawsuit attempting to stop what he's calling unconstitutional raids and detentions by federal officers at private work sites in southern Alabama. Leo Garcia Venegas claims he was detained twice despite having an Alabama-issued real ID and being a United States citizen. That lawsuit is supported by the Institute for Justice. Venegas claims that armed federal officers are raiding construction sites without warrants and detaining individuals based only on their appearance. Attorney Jared McClain believes that would violate the Fourth Amendment. The motion for a preliminary injunction cites instances where valid IDs, including employment authorization cards and real IDs, were rejected by immigration officers. A Milton man convicted of raping and killing his neighbor was executed last night. 65-year-old Norman Grimm Jr. was killed by lethal injection Tuesday. He declined to make a final statement before the execution. Grimm was convicted of sexual battery and first-degree murder. He was linked to the murder of Cynthia Campbell. By DNA evidence, her body was found by a fisherman in Escambia Bay in 1998. She'd been beaten with a hammer and stabbed multiple times. Now, the VO scooters that have been seen throughout downtown Pensacola for years now are going away at the end of the week. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the contract with VO is up at the end of October. The city declined to renew that contract here recently, and they're planning to look at other forms of multimodal transportation. Pensacola's new city administrator is on the job. Mayor Reeves introducing David Stafford at his press conference yesterday. Stafford thanked the mayor, said he's happy to be serving his community. He praised city staff and said he completed his official orientation Monday. He's now catching up on the city's initiatives and projects.
I went to the listening session on Hollis T. Williams, the unveiling there, the Bay Bluffs, that's sort of the beginning of the process there. Sat here as an observer for the very thorough and excellent tabletop exercise that was conducted right here in this room last week. I did not go to the city council meetings, but watched the recording of the city council meetings, both the regular meeting and the special meeting. Watched the Parks and Recs board.
Stafford is the former supervisor of elections. Mayor Reeves praised his reputation and experience, said he believes he'll be a major asset for the city and for the community. 735 at News Radio, 92.3. And John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Dealing with a couple of accidents right now. We just had one that happened on East Fairfield and Marcus Drive. That's off to the side of the road, but I'm starting to see some delays in that area. And also Navarre Parkway and Pritchard Point Drive. We're still dealing with that earlier accident that was 98 eastbound. Traffic is still backed up way past the Navarre Beach Bridge, so be aware of that. Also, I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, seeing about a 10 to 12 minute delay in that area, and Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola looks like it's backed up almost to pace. So be aware of that also. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We do have a 50% chance of those showers today, high near 68 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 51. For Thursday, partly cloudy skies, high near 65. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 45 degrees. Going into your Halloween Friday, high near 68, mostly sunny skies. And by Friday evening, temperatures dropping into the 50s, overnight temperatures in the 40s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
67 degrees. We've got cloudy skies right now. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump said that during his upcoming meeting with Chinese leader Xi Jinping, he expects to discuss the U.S. lowering tariffs on China in exchange for cracking down on the export of chemicals used to produce fentanyl. Trump and Jinping are set to meet in South Korea tomorrow. The Senate has failed to advance a Republican-backed funding bill to end the government shutdown for a 13th time. Meanwhile, a federal judge has indefinitely blocked President Trump's efforts to lay off thousands of federal employees amid the government shutdown. NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang said that its Blackwell graphics processing units, the company's fastest AI chips, are now in full production in Arizona. The stakes are high for NVIDIA. U.S. export restrictions have already cost NVIDIA billions of dollars in lost sales. Futures are slightly higher. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 161. The Nasdaq up 190. The S&P 500 up 15. That's your money now.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a one-carat diamond for 10 bucks? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well-maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
Hey, listen to this. All I needed was a new starter. Got a great deal on eBay. Did it myself.
Yeah, that's cool. But how about the soft purr of an upgraded exhaust when it fits just right?
For me, it's the little things. Like these new windshield wipers from eBay I installed.
Small fixes to big upgrades. eBay has all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Download our News Radio Pensacola app. Then tap that app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, 7:40 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We are still continuing to watch as Hurricane Melissa has just now almost cleared Cuba. Of course, devastating storm in Jamaica. I mean, Category 5 when it hit, ridiculous winds. We've already had reports of up to 7 people died, and I really hope that number doesn't grow bigger. But some of those were in Haiti, as we feared, because a lot of the storm was over Haiti, even though the circle, the eye of the hurricane was over Jamaica. Joining us now by phone, we have Mayor for Pensacola, D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Let's start with the obvious big sort of drama from yesterday. You announced that because of the need to complete the $16 million drainage and stormwater improvement project along Main Street that benefits 5,000 homes, you're trying to find a solution for where the water goes, and you have an easement right underneath Joe Paddy's where that road was never opened and the vacation was granted, but the easement was never gotten rid of. And you've been working with them for years trying to figure this out, and now you're suing them because you absolutely totally hate Joe Paddy's, right?
Well, yeah, if you read social media.
Right. Can I just say this? I made a post last night. I was actually thinking about you a little bit. It's not about you, but I was thinking about this kind of reaction. I said, if social media were a person, we'd describe them as a pathological liar.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. So go ahead. Tell the truth.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So to level set here, this, you know, I'm the second mayor that's been negotiating. And look at it. I'm going to put it in its most basic form. The city fully believes, and you know, in writing, that we have an easement that goes across the parking lot. Clearly, that is not something that is would be ideal for Joe Paddy. It's not, frankly, from a distance standpoint, even really necessarily ideal for the city. But as of legally speaking, since this project began, well before I was mayor, that this project was conjured up, designed, the majority of it started since I've been mayor, but. This is a multi-year conversation where we said, hey, well, you know, the fail-safe is that we have this easement. But, man, let's look at every other option. The family owns property over here and over there and, you know, all those things. And man, we look at everything. And I've personally had several meetings with family members. To this day, yesterday, day before, continue to be in conversation. I love Joe Paddy's like everybody else does. This is a last resort to compel going back to what the default option we have is.
Right.
Not because we want to do that again, when we've explored for years of time. And frankly, I think there are members of the family that agree that want to do something alternative, but maybe not everybody. I don't know their business and what their decision making process is. I know there's lots of people involved on their side. So I still hope to this day that we can find a remedy that's better for the city, something that we could even help with some of the flooding in their surrounding area. All of those things, there are options out there to do that. We just haven't been able to compel those options or get those to the finish line. And again, we can't wait a fourth or a fifth year on a project that's this vital and this large.
What would, because I thought that, you know, the point you made yesterday, which I agree with, is that you've exercised tremendous restraint to this point because you clearly have the legal right and you haven't exercised what would be a fairly intrusive disruption of their business to go right across the front of their store. But what does the lawsuit actually accomplish? What do you need to go to court to get done that you can't get done just by, you know, taking some backhoes in there and digging up and going?
Yeah, well, you're going to have me delve into being an attorney. So,
okay.
I want to make sure I don't want to go too far down the legalese, but what I would tell you is ultimately it's to grant us access to the easement of which we possess.
Okay.
So the original easement and to your earlier point, exactly. If we weren't trying to be collaborative, then the city would have the same legal right that we're expressing now 3 years ago. So I mean, it could have just said, hey, we're not going to have any conversation about this. We're just going to go across the parking lot, underneath the parking lot, obviously, where the easement is. And we are, you know, it could have just stopped right there. We don't want to do that. Whether it's Palafox, whether it's Joe Patties, we always are looking for the most harmonious collaborative solution to accomplish a goal. Why would we not do that?
Right. What's the date? Like, when does this actually start to impede the project? And from a planning perspective, I know it's not the end of the rest of the stuff because you got to coincide timelines. But, you know, when does this have to happen or else?
Yeah, I mean, I would have to defer, the exact day, the exact week to, of course, our engineer and all of those things. But what I can tell you is it's coming across my desk now because we are getting to that point.
Okay.
And the misperception like, oh, well, why didn't we plan this? Well, we have planned this.
Right.
I mean, in other words, we've had this easement the entire time. All we've done is we've worked hard for 3 years and had countless meetings trying to figure out an alternative way that's better for everybody.
Yeah.
If we're hitting a roadblock and we have a legal easement and this project's depending on getting water to the bay, then we're stuck in this place. And so, I don't know an exact date. And again, I'd have to leave that to city attorney or engineer to say that. But all I can tell you is, I'm still in conversation, with the family. I'd have a meeting with them today. If there's some other way to do this, we are certainly happy to do that. And that's why we were proactive about announcing this, is because without that, the presumption would have been that we are taking a confrontational posture as it pertains to all we're merely saying is, this is our easement, and we have to now go this way since we spent 3 years trying to figure out something else.
Yeah, we, as you said, we have a plan. This plan will work. This plan will suck for Joe Patties. We've been trying for 3 years to find a better plan and get together with them and make it happen. We just haven't managed to make that work just yet. We're talking to D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola. Hang on for just a second, D.C. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
I-10 westbound between Highway 29 and 9 Miles, basically at a standstill right now due to construction, so be aware of that. Also, 98 eastbound as you approach Windhaven Beach from that earlier accident, traffic is still backed up all the way past the Navarre Beach Bridge. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Hey, back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, I did want to just clear up one thing, because I remember when Main Street reopened, and I think it was as a result of maybe this last weekend's 4 to 5 inch rain that everybody got. It might have been prior to that, if I could be wrong. But I saw some posts on social media that said, we're still getting standing rain all over the place and flooding. I thought they fixed all of this. The answer to that is?
The project is not complete.
There you go.
It would be the answer. And the finish line of a project isn't if Main Street's back open again.
Right.
That's one tiny aspect of a massive, again, $16 million project. And again, if it rains hard today or tomorrow, what's the first thing, understandably, that citizens in that area of town say? Oh, man, it floods all on Main Street. Well, that's why we're doing this project.
Right.
I mean, this has not been done before, and they're absolutely right that it's flood-prone down here. And here we are, we're just trying to fix this and trying to forge this thing ahead so that isn't a problem for – I mean, if you think about one stormwater project positively affecting 5,000 residents, we only have 55,000 residents. So, I mean, you're talking about 10% of the population of the city getting positive stormwater outcome. It's a big project and very important.
The Gull Point Skate Park. Now, I think that – which now the equipment has been removed. And look, as a skater-ish, at least I used to be, and I still every once in a while pick up a skateboard and run the risk of killing myself. Gull Point was never a skate park. Gull Point was a concrete slab with a couple of pieces of dilapidated metal skate paraphernalia on it. It was never a skate park to begin with. But you take away something that people enjoyed, presumably because it's unsafe. And the question is, what do we do now? I know Casey Jones has been talking about these minor, the small skate spots, other skate alternatives around the city. Where does any of that stand?
Yeah, so obviously we have to make an assessment. When you have 94 parks, 11 community centers, 70-something playground equipment, you know, structures, all of those types of things, you have to make assessments on you know, the expected life and the viability of renewing that life.
Right.
And so that really was the conversation, is where it's located, the age of it, what can we do that would even be viable in that location? So sometimes things go out and things go in. And to give you a little inside baseball, you know, in the life of a mayor, what has typically happened historically here, let's use a playground structure. A new one goes in, but maybe there's 6 months of life left on the old one. And so historically the city has left the old one. Now, can you predict what happens from here? What happens is the old one stays for about 6 months, and then the city goes to take it out. And it's, I cannot believe you took out our playground.
You know? Right, instead of getting credit for the 6 months, right.
Yeah, and so that happens. I mean, I couldn't even count how many times those types of things happen, and it's human nature. But, you know, what I would say is the goals are getting resurfaced. There's significant investment going into Goal Point. It just isn't in that form. And so I think we just posted that the basketball court is resurfaced.
Right.
And, you know, there's other water fountains and benches and – you know, so there's a big significant investment happening at Goal Point. It just will be in other places other than that at this point.
And I know it's like anything else, right? We've had a thing for a long time. We're accustomed to having it. It's in our neighborhood. We hate to see it go away. But, you know, there is a bit of a trade-off here. We have built another skate park, you know, a fairly significant one. You know,
quite a larger one. Yeah.
It's not as convenient for the residents of that area, but it is available, right? And it is certainly far, far, far better. Reimagine Palafox, the only question I have, I know you met with the contractors yesterday, you're meeting with the business owners today or the residents today or something, you're meeting all this week talking about this. The one thing that I think has maybe not been made super clear, and I'd like to make it clear, is how much time would a shutdown of the street just for resurfacing take? How much time is a planned shutdown of the street for the whole project? And then what would be the time frame for the piecemeal? Because you made a very interesting point about that yesterday.
Yeah, so first of all, these are all analyses that took place throughout this process and that we have narrated significant portions. We even looked at it block by block, and the initial engineer estimate was that each block would take 14 weeks if you were to do it individually. Now, let me ask answer your first question. The FPL repaving, and it's got, this has an asterisk on it, but we would think would be at least 60 days.
Okay.
Now, that is that day and night. And then here's what would happen. If we went down, and listen, we've got options. We can do nothing. We can do the FPL. We can go rebid the FPL project and just do that. Or we can move forward with this project. And that has been my position the entire time. We didn't know what the cost was. We are reaching a decision point now in any speculation as to things have been decided, things have been signed. We could walk away from this project today if we want to. I mean, we just are naturally at the decision point of which we had put on a timeline for every business owner since the summer to say, let's see if we can afford it. And if we can afford it, then let's look at it and either give it the thumbs up or thumbs down. That is precisely where we are on the timeline now. And that has not changed for months, despite speculation about,
right,
you know, other pieces of that. So, the FPL project has an asterisk because the FPL project merely repaves where utility cuts took place. In other words, the pavement stopped at O'Reilly's, like at the crosswalk there at Plaza Ferdinand, and then it's old pavement after that. Now, I'm guessing that the property owners, the business owners, the citizens don't want to see that. They would say, well, why don't you just finish out the street? And then do we just want painted crosswalks or do we want stamped crosswalks? So in other words, the FPL thing is a little bit of a loaded gun in the sense that, yeah, we can absolutely go that direction. But to price it as FPL was legally required to replace it versus the reality that there would be additional things that would still need to be put on there, even if it's not nearly to the extent of the Reimagine project. That's what makes it TBD on cost and kind of TBD on time too. But what I can tell you is the original FPL project, our general estimate's about 60 days.
Okay, so 2 months if we just do street resurfacing, 6 months for the full Reimagine Palafox project done in the rip the Band-Aid off approach. And I think you mentioned yesterday that a year plus if we do it section by section. And as you mentioned, nobody wants to go second because that second starts to push them into the spring and the summer season when they're going to make all their money. And so how do you do this equitably for everybody? And I just think that – just as a fact matter, it was useful to have that perspective for folks. We are almost totally out of time, but I did want to do just 15 seconds. VO scooters contract ends, Friday is your last day to rent those. They're going away, and you're open to future, but nothing has manifested yet that makes sense for the city, right?
With VO or another partner, we will bring back a multimodal solution. It just won't be in the form that we've done it.
Got it. Far. Okay. And that could be bikes, that could be scooters, that could be lots of different things. But, you know, you're certainly not abandoning the idea of multimodality. You're just saying this didn't work. It was a pilot program. It didn't work the way we wanted it to. And so we're gonna go away from that. We always like to end with a quick round of questions. I know you're a baseball guy. I know you're a sports guy. So I will ask you the question. Is Shohei Ohtani the greatest baseball player in history?
Man, it's hard to argue. He's got to serve some more time here. But
right.
If he were to have an injury in next year, but man, I mean, to do it, but to play, to pitch and to hit the way he has done, I don't know. Will we ever see that again? I don't know that we will.
Yeah, I mean, Vlad Guerrero won yesterday off of him, but man, that's all he really gave up. So
exactly.
A 4 slugging in one game and a 3 slugging in another game is pretty okay. 9 bases.
That's right.
Do you like horror movies?
Not really, maybe it's because of my decompression after work, but I don't know that I'm ready for that tense level. So I would say no, man, I'm not a real big fan. I'm more of a comedy guy.
And you read social media, so you don't need to watch horror movies. Are you dressing up for Halloween? And if so, as what?
No, I'm not. Someone had recommended J.D. Vance this year, but,
yeah, cause you do kind of look a little bit like him. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. And you're both tall. So,
and plus I already have that outfit, so I don't have to go spend any money.
Already have a suit. That's funny.
I just need a red tie on Amazon and I'm good to go.
There's no plans.
No, I don't think so, though.
Okay.
Sorry, Andrew. Sorry.
Very good. I appreciate that. Well, Mayor Reeves, I look forward to talking to you again next week. As always, I appreciate the time and the perspective. We'll see you then. Happy Halloween, by the way.
Thank you so much.
All right, 7:56 here on News Radio 92.3. By the way, it's pouring here at the station. We got a pretty strong band of thunderstorms. It goes from Orange Beach all the way up into Milton along that diagonal. It'll pass through here pretty quickly, but yeah, it's a pounding at the intersection of 10 and 110. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right, I-10 westbound between Highway 29 and 9 Miles. That is standstill right now. Just basically construction delays there. Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, experiencing about a 10 to 15 minute delay, and still dealing with 98 eastbound as you approach Windhaven Beach. Traffic is still backed up all the way past the Navarre Beach Bridge. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you need to buy that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars, cars that they will all warranty up until 10 years or 100,000 miles. Good quality, A-quality cars, low miles, low years. You're going to be the second owner, maybe the third owner in good condition. You just don't have to pay that, first mile expense of depreciation hit when you buy a new car. That also means that they're always looking to buy because they sell so many, they have to buy so many. About 150 a month they have to buy, so they go to auctions, they do corporate leases, and they buy from you. If you've got a good car that you are interested in selling, easy peasy, go to Frontier, 15 minutes, they'll make you an offer. And then if you want it, great. If it's not quite high enough for you, for whatever reason, you want a consignment, sell it through them for no extra fees, they'll do that too. Might take a little longer, but they'll take care of you. Frontier Motor, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
You. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 29th to Pensacola Beach. Presented by IT Gulf Coast and Blue Angels AFSEA Chapter, get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and emerging technology experts. The conference features a free career fair, prizes, and an amazing welcome reception on Pensacola Beach. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit itenwired.com for tickets.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show.
Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We're going to have such a good time. It'll be like this one time at band camp when we all had a campfire.
Shot through the heart and you're too late.
Oh, man, that movie. All right. Hey, Foo Foo Fest kicks off tonight. You can go see that Afterburn display that's up already. Got a picture of it up on our Facebook page. David Wayne, do you have a 15-second news story for me?
I do. The Federal Reserve is expected to cut interest rates today after a string of poor labor market reports and news that inflation has slowed down.
All right. Don't spend it all in one place. Wait, what do you mean that's not how that works? Fine.
Stream us at News Radio.